We come to our sermon today. We're looking at Isaiah chapter 11. We're doing a series for the next 3 weeks on what child is this. And this is the child of peace in Jesus Christ. And we see that in chapter 11, verses 1 through 10. The little child will lead them. Beginning in verse 1. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse, and from his roots a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of power, the Spirit of knowledge and of fear, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears, but he, with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with his breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. The righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, and the leopard will lie down with the goat, and the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and the young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the hole of the cobra. The young child will put his hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his place of rest will be glorious. This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Father, your word is perfect. We are imperfect. We need your Spirit to understand, apply, and believe your word. Have mercy upon us at this time and help us to unpack your call on us as a body because of what your Son has done. What you have done in Jesus changes everything. Begin that change in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. They were a people that were destroyed by war for generations. They were the Sawi people of Indonesia on West New Guinea. And they were a people who loved treachery and deception. And the villages among this tribe would war constantly, so much so that men wouldn't have a very long life expectancy because of the constant war. But one day they would have peace. And a little child will bring it about. See, what will stop the violence? What will stop the warring villages within the one tribe will not be a treaty that is signed. It will not be amount of wealth given from one village to another. It will not be even superior numbers of one village over another. What will bring peace to these people is a little child. See, in this culture, this tribe, the chief would give his son to the enemy village. And that child would be raised in that village. And the idea is that the king or the chief would never attack or destroy that village that had his son in it. And this happened. This one piece was given, and this peace child was given to a local village, and a missionary there, two missionaries were there. One was, and I'm blinking on his name, Don Richardson and his wife Carol. They were missionaries in this tribe, and they saw this happen, and they saw the gospel of Jesus. They told these tribal people that God was not out to get them. God was not someone to be afraid of, because God has sent his peace child to this world. He has sent the peace child to us, and when you trust in him, he will save you, and you can trust him. And at that moment, this whole tribe changed. This tribe became Christians. And eventually, Don Richardson came back from the field there, but the gospel continued to change that area because of the peace child. Jesus was the peace child of the Creator God. And so as we look at this passage in Isaiah today, we must understand that when we talk about peace, it is not just the end of hostilities. It is something given that is abundant. It is God's own Son in Jesus Christ. Peace in Hebrew is not just absence of conflict. It's not inner peace. It's a comprehensive human flourishing. It is health. It is prosperity. It is those things that we talked about in Psalm 128 when we had our call to worship. That's what peace is. The peace to be on God's people was that type of peace. And that can only happen truly through the little child that will lead them, this Messiah King, this anointed King, Jesus Christ. And so we're going to look at this king and this peace child through his uniqueness in chapter 11, through his justice, and then through his healing. So his uniqueness, his justice, and his healing. So Isaiah, and this part of Isaiah has been telling a story. There is a king of the house of David. His name is Ahaz, and he is terrified that there are two kings who are coming to destroy Jerusalem. King of Aram and the king of Israel, the northern kingdom, they are uniting together to attack Jerusalem and to destroy them. And he's panicking. He's beside himself. He doesn't know those two forces can take him out and take Jerusalem out. And so Isaiah says to him, listen, I want you to know this will not happen. They will not come to Jerusalem. They will not attack Jerusalem. And then Isaiah says, ask the Lord for a sign. And King Ahaz is like, no thanks. I'm going to continue to worry. And so then Isaiah rebukes him. Here's what he says. In chapter 7, verse 13 and 14, here's what he says to Isaiah. Then Isaiah said, hear now, you house of David. Is it not enough to try the patience of humans? Will you try the patience of my God also? Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, God with us. There's this. And so what happens is that as this prophecy goes on, he says, before that child is born and eats honey, before he knows right from wrong, these men will be destroyed. These kings will be destroyed. And then he drops the bomb there. The king of Assyria will do it. Now, the king of Assyria is the most brutal empire of the ancient world. Genocide and torture is how they kept order in this world. Their army was massive and ruthless. But he was the king of Assyria was the one who will destroy. And so there's this good and bad. Okay, those two warring kings won't be bad, but this king of Assyria there, that's kind of rough. God, I don't know about that. And so Isaiah gives another prophecy that this virgin conceiving and giving birth to a son does not just apply to that moment, but that goes on because there will be a child born to us. Isaiah 9:6 says, for unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So this prediction of a child, the sign of a child, is not just for that moment, but there's another child given who will be powerful and majestic. He will be God's anointed king. He will have the whole government on his shoulders, and he will be all of those things. And then we get chapter 11. After God has said, through this time, I will give you a child, I will give you a son, and he will be the anointed king. But before that, I will bring judgment upon the northern kingdom and judgment upon Aram, and I'll bring judgment upon Syria as well. And Isaiah uses this wonderful metaphor of all these trees in a forest being felled, and that was the judgment upon Assyria for all their genocide, for all their murder and torture, and all the ways they destroyed the countries and peoples around them. And then 11 begins. And in that vision of all this forest being felled and just stumps being around, there's a stump of Jesse. Remember, Jesse is David's father. Jesse is the idea of that stump of that house of Jesse. There will still be life. A shoot will come up. A root, a branches will bear fruit. And then this fourfold mention of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. And that vision of the Spirit of the Lord resting on him is the exact words that the gospel writers use to describe the Spirit coming upon Jesus at his baptism. It is the language of creation that in the beginning the earth was formless and void, but the Spirit of God hovered over this creation. In the same way, it said that Noah sent out a dove to, to find and to rest upon in the same way, rest on a mountain. This new creation language, this king is unlike any other. This king will have the spirit of wisdom. Remember, he is the one who is wonderful counselor. He will be the counselor. He will be a person of power. But the spirit of God is what gives this person power. Not birth, not worldly wisdom, okay, not riches, not military might. The backbone will be the spirit of God, and that spirit will cause, verse 3, this king to delight in the fear of the Lord. This is the uniqueness of Jesus. Like his father David, he will delight in the Lord. That is the power of this king. And because it's the power of this king, it is also our power. How do we understand what God has come to do? How peace is brought about? It begins with delighting in the fear of the Lord. It is oftentimes that we will see something wrong in our lives. We will see something wrong with our relationships, and we will try to make a plan for how to attack this. So you type A personalities really got this. So you come up with a plan, and you're going to fix this part of you. You're going to fix this situation. You take delight in being very efficient and conscientious that you can do things well. And so you make up your plan to do things, and what happens is that sometimes the worst thing can happen is that you solve your problems. That's the worst thing, because you think, I got this. I got this. I'm disciplined. I have it all together. I have the talents and I have the resources to change. And there's some others of you who've tried to change, who have made your plans, you made your checklist, and you fail. There's a grace in that, because it is not about our strength. It is not about our wisdom. To delight ourselves in the Lord, in the fear of the Lord, as Jesus himself does, is that we realize how poor we really are, how we aren't full of resources, how we don't have it all together. See, delighting ourselves in the Lord means that we have to empty ourselves at anything we think is reputable to God. Oh, God, I'm a good person. No, you're not. Before the throne of Jesus, you are a sinner. We sometimes lose sight of this idea of delighting in the Lord, and we try to find our delight in everything else, in our possessions, in our status, in our future, in our plans, in our talents. But this is what this king does. This king will delight in the fear of the Lord, and that uniqueness should be his followers as well. It is not about how much you can muster up on your own to-do list. Start up your own software on your own operating system. You need a whole new operating system. And that operating system is delighting yourself in the Lord. See, what happens is when we sort of go by our own desires, we will try to use people for approval. We will try to use created things to find delight. But true delight is emptying yourself of anything you try to take pride in, and you bring it before Jesus, and you say, Lord, let me delight in you. It's the exact opposite of making yourself feel happy. Delighting yourself in the Lord is a despairing of yourself and a looking to Jesus. That is the uniqueness. The power of Jesus is because of his delight from the spirit of counsel, from the spirit of wisdom, and from the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And then we see what this king does. This Prince of Peace will bring about justice, a unique kind of justice. The second part of verse 3 and 4, we see what this justice will look like. He does not judge by what his eyes see or decide what his ears hear. And this will be justice for the poor. Righteousness will be for the needy. He will give decisions on behalf of the poor of the earth. Typically, one of the common complaints of Isaiah throughout this book is that the judges and the rulers of the people will look at people and make judgments not based on what really happened or not based on testimony, but based on how people look, based on their status. And so by Jesus not going but what his eyes see and what his ears hear, he can give true justice because he knows everything perfectly. No matter what human judge is there, how wise a human judge is, they will always leave things out. There are things that they don't understand. There are things that they're not made aware of because we are finite people. But there is someone who sees it all because he has something in himself that is unique and different. Verse 5 is translated here in most English versions saying his righteousness will be his belt and faithfulness, the sash around his waist. Probably a better translation is righteousness and faithfulness are his undergarments. Okay, that's the New Jerry International version, okay? Okay, so if you strip everything away from Jesus, you strip everything away from this king, what's going to be left, something constitutionally with him, is righteousness and justice, so unique and so powerful that we've seen nothing like it in human judges. Nothing like it. And so down deep, there's something, the quality of his justice is completely different. And how will he execute this justice? Now remember I said about the Assyrians. The Assyrians recommend justice. There are reliefs that we find in museums of the Assyrian Empire where there are people rebelled and they came and they killed the king, they skinned him and his family and everyone he loved as a retribution for going against the king of Assyria. That's brutality. Okay, that's just to give you a hint of the brutality of the Assyrian world and the Assyrian king. This king is not like that. This king strikes the earth with not the rod of his army or the rod of brute power. The earth is struck by the rod of his mouth. What he says, his word, is what will bring about justice. The breath, and also here, please, in Hebrew, the pun, spirit and breath are the same word in Hebrew. With the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. So what he's saying is this king is so unique by his justice is not just doing what he sees as fit and right. It is someone who not just knows about justice, but he is justice in himself. He is righteousness. And therefore, as he speaks, judgment is rendered, and that judgment will kill, destroy the wicked. And that's exactly what the Word of God does. When this missionary, Don Richardson, speaks about Jesus, he talks about how when the Word of God comes to you, you must understand that you are an enemy with God. And yet God has brought his peace child to you. And that God's peace child, it means that part of you, you have to admit you're guilty, that you are an enemy of God. And his word is his promises that God loves the people who are his enemies. As Romans says, God, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ died and laid his life down for his enemies. And so his justice is the preaching of his word that, as the Bible says, is a double-edged sword that cuts between bone and marrow. The word of God cuts us, lets us know that we are on the outside looking in, that we are enemies with God, yet God has come close. He has brought peace in the peace child of Jesus. He has transformed us, and his justice, his gospel, is what enacts his judgment. The truth that Jesus became like us. He took the form of a servant, taking death and suffering the brutality of living in our world under the fall. He experienced death in all its loneliness, in all its shame, in all its darkness. And God exalted him after that. And that is the good news. Believing in Jesus means that I look to the cross and say, I deserve that. I deserve that shame for my sins. I deserve that alienation. And Jesus will raise you up. And when you understand that Jesus does not treat you as your sins deserve, but has compassion on you like a father has compassion on his children, when you understand that, that's faith. That's justice. You realize that the misdeeds of your body, that the evil that lurks in your heart, the approval and the affection that you try to find for yourself and other people and the things of this world, those things need to be put to death. And how are they put to death? Through his word, through his gospel, through his scripture. He is the one who brings about justice to this day. The true justice is not legislated. True justice is not given through intelligence. True justice is not given just through investigation. True justice comes from the man who is justice himself. And that is Jesus Christ. And that is the message we are given. If you want to be about justice, you got to be about Jesus. Because Jesus ultimately is justice personified. And when he transforms you, your the evil parts, the fleshy parts of you, the parts that are dark and have the dark thoughts and dark doubts, the places where we've hurt people we love, those places need to be put to death, to be slayed by the rod of his mouth and by the breath of his lips. That's the call. That's how the Prince of Peace brings peace, is through his cross, through conviction of sin, and through glory in his resurrection. He was made like us so that we might become like him. In verse 6, we get a picture of this healing that he brings. And I love this picture, and it's been repeated in art throughout the history. It's been in the New Testament, picks up on some of these things as well. The wolf will lie down with a lamb. Now, does a wolf usually lie down with a lamb? Only if he's eating the lamb, right? The wolf lies down after he's enjoying the meal of the lamb. But here, they're cuddled up together. They're spooning, okay? Get the image here. They're lying down together, cuddling. Okay? They're like, you know, two cats that are there having a cat nap together. That's what the wolf and the lamb are doing. The leopard will lie down with a goat. Leopard, goat is very slow compared to a leopard. And yet, here they are, also lying down together. Oh, that's the spooning one. Wolf and lamb are just living together. They're just being pals. The leopard and the goat are lying down together. And the lion and the calf and the yearling, the lion would tear up a yearling. The lion would tear up a calf. But they're all following what? A little child. Now, this is what Isaiah will do again and again throughout this book. He will use the child imagery again and again to say, listen, Israel, you are weak, but I am strong. You are the toddler, but I'm the one who will protect you from the cobras. You are the weak one. You are the one who needs me, and I will be there for you. That imagery, again and again, is used in Isaiah to call us to be humble and to trust him. There will be no more helplessness when this king comes, when this king does his work. The cow will feed with a bear, and their young will lie down together. The lion will eat straw like an ox. There's no more need of survival, because all of life now is full of the knowledge of God. There will neither, verse 9, there will neither harm nor destroy on my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as his waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for all the peoples, and nations will rally to him. I want to give you this picture. You know, we think about that picture of the wolf and the lamb living together, and the leopard and the goat lying down together, and we think, oh yeah, that's when Jesus comes again. But the imagery should be very stark to us. Oftentimes, animals are mentioned as different people groups throughout the Bible. That the nations are seen in this way, and what is this saying is that the natural enemies of this sinful world will be healed. The natural tribalism will be healed. The natural animosities will be healed. The natural fears will be healed. And when that happens, Jesus, this anointed king, this root of Jesse, will be a banner for all peoples. That banner, the word banner, we don't use banner as much unless we like hang a banner for a football team that wins the championship, maybe the Super Bowl from 2018. But anyway, those are banners. But this banner is a banner in war. And when you are a soldier in the fog of war and you're fighting and you kind of figure out where you're going, you would look for your banner. And you would rally to your banner to advance. And brothers and sisters, what this is saying is that one day, all the natural animosities, all the evil, all the brokenness of this world will be healed. And in the midst of that, Jesus will rise up his banner and all the nations will rally to it. And brothers and sisters, we live in that world now, that Jesus is the banner over all nations. All languages, all peoples see the name of Jesus and they run to his healing. And he is doing that now all over the world. And people are coming to know Jesus in powerful and numerous encounters. And brothers and sisters, Jesus calls us to be part of that healing. Not just stand back and go, wow, that's cool. No, I want to be part of that. The nations are rallying to Jesus. This is why he gives the Great Commission. Make disciples of the nations, because they are rallying to the King of the Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is why Christianity is the largest religion in the world. And 200 years ago, it was not. God is doing powerful work all over the world. We want us to be ambassadors of his healing. We want ourselves to be instruments of his peace, of his healing, of his blessing, and of his abundance. Don Richardson and his three sons went back in 2012. His wife passed away of cancer in 2004, but he went back in 2012 to this tribe, the Saui people. And it was amazing. As soon as he and his sons, who all his sons were born there in that area, in that village, with these tribes people. And he saw them, and the first thing he noticed when he saw them compared to 50 years earlier was how many old people there were. Because for years, the wars killed off so many old people, old men and women, especially old warriors. To see men with gray hairs meant that peace was still there. That the peace child of Jesus had changed that culture. What happened is that those people became a real sort of oasis in that region, and different tribes would come to learn of the Bible and to learn from the churches in the Saui people that they led. And it was miraculous what God was doing. In fact, Don Richardson and other church leaders there of the Saui people, baptized over 300 people while he was there, because people are coming to know Jesus through these people who were constantly warring, and now they're instruments of peace. Now these tribes that used to war together now are seen as brothers and sisters, and they're intermarrying, and they're saying goodbye to the tribalism that was there. And peace is reigning. Brothers and sisters, Don Richardson and his wife almost left. Before the peace came, they were going to leave. You know what? This isn't working. They love treachery and they love deception. They think Judas is the star of the gospel. Really, they did. Judas, the one who betrays Jesus, they think he's the hero. Jesus got duped. And they almost left. But God did a powerful work, and he was there for them. And they were patient. Brothers and sisters, I want you to be patient with what God is doing, because he is doing incredible things in our world. He's doing some pretty amazing things in our city. And he wants us to be part of it. He wants us to be ambassadors of peace. He wants us to declare his healing, his justice, and the power of his Spirit. The question is, are you delighting in Jesus today? If you do not delight in Jesus, if this thing is so foreign to you, I want you to know that he wants you to delight. He wants your heart. He doesn't want you just outward conformity. He wants your heart. He wants you to know his power. Do you know it today? Do you know the Prince of Peace and the blessing that he brings? In his name, let us pray. Lord, thank you for your son. Thank you for the truth of your scripture. And thank you that you are the God who works powerfully through weak people. A little child will lead them. And Lord, lead us. Lead us by this peace child, this baby born in a manger that we celebrate and we sing of, will lead us into the day when all nations rally to your banner, when the wolf will lie down with the lamb, Lord, when the little child will play near the nest of the cobras. All of those visions, Lord, help us long for that day when you make all things right and you bring it about right now by your Spirit, that this is happening. The nations are reconciled, relationships are healed, families are put back together by the power of the gospel of Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.